Pleasure to meet you, Jonathan. How
are
you?
Lovely to meet you. Good, thank you so much.
How's life with you?
Oh, very good. It's very interesting at the moment and consistently trench warfare with the HSE on behalf of all my children, but that's interesting. That's what I'm around for. You
know? Okay, well, for people, and I'm sure everybody has heard of the Jack and Jill Foundation, tell us about your organisation.
I started it in 97. We, the 29th of February the previous year, we'd had a little boy called Jack. He suffered a trauma of some sort in the maternity nursery the second day of his life. We suspect he probably was a mucousy baby. He may have choked to death, and they were understaffed and overworked. But they resuscitated him, and we got a little boy back in a condition that every family dreads. Mm. And he probably couldn't see, couldn't hear, and certainly couldn't swallow. And we knew that because of that, the Irwins as a family had, let's say, hit the platform at Houston Station. Yeah. And things would never be the same again. What I found extraordinary, why I started the foundation, was that I found out from a man I have a great deal of time for, who's the senior pediatrician in the hospital, who we went to see after about 6 weeks of little fellow being in intensive care. For the route map, what do? We live in Kildare, about 50 miles outside Dublin, and he got fed through a tube in his nose, which took 18 hours, and he cried 24 hours a day. So we really needed a route map, and he sat us down and he said, "You've no idea, this is far worse than you think it is. This little fellow would love you like any other baby would love you, but because of his condition, every way of coming out of the Moses basket or the incubator is a negative one." Mm-hmm. "And because he takes so much care, you two are going to become absolutely exhausted." And I was working in Dublin, and my wife, Marianne O'Brien, had started Lily O'Brien's a few years before and had 40 people employed in Nace. And you can't put 40 people out in the street because the boss's son is sick. So that was a situation we were in. And after 3 months, wow, we were absolutely, he said, exhausted. And he said, "You know, you'll go so exhausted, it'll definitely put a strain on your marriage," which luckily it didn't. But he also said, "It'll ruin the childhood of his two sisters, Lily and Molly, and his brother, Fancy." And I don't have a route map for you. The only thing I can tell you, and it's very chilling and it's very brutal, but it is the only way if you want to get out of this trap, is when you go home in about 3 weeks' time, repack his little bag, drive him up to Crumlin, because that's the closest children's hospital to you, get him admitted, knowing you're going to abandon him. Well, there are certain milestones in one's life, and that's one of them. I mean, the hairs stood up on the back of our necks. And of course we didn't, but, you know, this was 96 in Ireland, a very rich country. Yeah. It wasn't China, it wasn't Romania, which we were all very perturbed about. This was Ireland. So we went home, and we struggled for 3 months. Eventually, a remarkable lady, Nora Byrne, came off the packing lines at Lily O'Brien's and said, "Look, I was a nurse before I got married. I'd love to see if I can help you." Well, she came and met Jack, and it was duck to water stuff. And then over the next 10 days, strangely enough, ladies from the villages around us, like Narromore and Baltinglass, they didn't know us, we didn't know them, they just knocked on the door, and they said they'd heard about Jack, and could they see if they could help? And the story is that he ended up with five remarkable ladies looking after him round the clock for the remaining 18 months of his life. But that showed us something of how these little people could flourish in as best they can. And Marianne and I just made a pact, really, that no other family and no other child would ever go through the valley that Jack had taken us through. Yeah. And for him it was terrible, because I didn't realize what an enemy nature is. I mean, when you get this brain damage, it seems you immediately become an epileptic, so that's another tube in your arm to stop the fits.
Yeah. And as a little baby,
I tell you thing. And also nature starts twisting your limbs. I thought Jack would just be a very beautiful brain damaged baby. Not at all. His limbs started twisting like an olive tree's, and that's fine if there's any pediatric physio available, but of course there wasn't, and there's not much now. So that is the situation we got put into. I didn't know anything about charity, I didn't know anything about health, but I'd had 30, I was very lucky to be a father of 55, because I'd had 35 years in the horse racing industry, and I was pretty certain I could look back into that industry and get the oxygen, the money together to make good our promise Christmas to the families that would appear with very handicapped children. And that's really how Jack and Jill started. And what we do is we bring early intervention home nursing to the children all over the 26 counties. We've looked after 1,300 since I started.
Incredible.
We've got 294 on our books at the moment, including 76 in the city of Dublin and the county of Dublin. You're probably never, ever more than about 20 miles from a Jack and Jill baby wherever you live in this country. And I can tell you, having had the privilege of knowing Jack for 22 months, these little people, they can't do very much, but they take a part of your heart you simply can't believe was there before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they really are worth keeping warm and cozy. And of course, what are we doing? There are only 500 pediatric beds in the country, but we have approximately 300 of them warm and cozy at home. So we've taken the strain off the hospital system. And also, the babies that we look at home, after at home, cost $16,500 a year. If they were in hospital, they would be costing $146,000.
Yeah.
So we're nine times more economical, less expensive, whatever you like to say, than having these babies left in the hands of the HSE, who are not really very at home with paediatric disability.
And of course, it's important to note that these Jack and Jill babies get full-time 24/7 round-the-clock care and attention, and all of their needs and wants and their little desires are catered for because of the amazing work you and your wife have put into this foundation.
Yeah, I think that's very nice of you to say that, but I think the parents would reflect that also. And what it also allows, I can't tell you that Jack and Jill have saved any partnerships, any marriages, but we definitely take a lot of the financial strain out. And it does allow them to do things like go and have a drink, or go out to supper, or take the siblings, who often get forgotten, to the pantomime at this time of year, or the skating, or whatever it is. It's just very simple things, which are out the window, as we found back in 96.
But in order to keep going, you guys need funding.
Yes.
Now, how do you get that funding?
Well, just to try and give your listeners a picture, I started, I'd say, in 97. Since 97 to now, I've raised 30 million euro.
Wow.
The HSE have contributed only 4. They're very much a junior partner in this, which I think is totally wrong. The children shouldn't be the responsibility of a very old, broken-down horse dealer. I mean, the HSE should be looking after these children, but they're just not really capable of it. And the funding that we need from them, they're not prepared to give us at the moment. We're not stupid. We know the country's in trouble, mm-hmm. but we started this discussion back in April, earlier probably, and John Maloney, the junior minister, said, look, I have a ring-fence budget of $1.6 billion that I'm certain is fat. It's never been reviewed, and there's fat and there's duplication in there. I'm going to look at it over the summer and then come back to me in October and I'll give you a definite decision about what we can do to help you. Of course, nothing happened.
Indeed.
And the review now won't be published or printed till the middle of next year, so it won't be acted on till 2012. Meantime, I have nearly 300 babies and their families who are desperate. So, I mean, we have to do crazy things like recycling old mobile phones.
And there's something that, look, if you've got young people in your house, they're upgrading their phones every 6 months. And coming up to Christmas is, I want this phone, I want that phone.
That's right.
You know, and then suddenly you've got an accumulation of mobile phones lying around the house and you think, what can I do with these?
Well, this is it. And if I might say so, if you want to do something good with them, give them to Jack and Jill. All you have to do is put them into an envelope, mark it Jack and Jill, phone appeal free post, and it gets to us. And just to give people an understanding of how important that is, we make double out of old mobile phones than we get from the HSE. We get about 1 million out of phones. We get 550 from the government. Again, it's nerve-wracking for the parents to think that their children are being kept in proper circumstances because of old toxic waste.
Yeah.
And, we dream up other things. We printed a lovely book for Christmas called There's No Place Like Home. We got 29 well-known Irish characters to write little stories, from Maeve Binchy through to Niall Quinn and Eddie Hobbs. And it's a really terrific read, and it's printed by Mercia. It's selling like hotcakes.
Great.
But it's a lovely sort of, it's a very Edwardian Victorian book, and I think it's $14.99. And the thing that we're launching this week via texting, sort of premium texting, is if you text the number 57034 and then just print out, well, just then write pint, that will cost €5, but we get 95% of that.
Fantastic.
And it's maybe when you're in the pub, you know, the next round's for Jack and Jill sort of thing,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, it's another way that doesn't hurt anybody too much. And if you come onto our web, there are millions of other things to do. You know, this week we've got, I think in Blessington, we've got a carol service on Saturday, and the hotel in Athy are doing a sort of winter fair for us. We have to, always dreaming up mousetraps, but it's not, it's grand to keep on doing it, but these mainstream, like the hot water or the electricity for the whole of this system, should be being pumped in by the HSE, and they should stop faffing around. We've said to them, we'll take over all the children from 0 to 6. Why don't you do that? It's like, I think the Simon community could do a far better job, or Vincent de Paul. There are a lot of us
indeed,
who are much more efficient and much more economic in this day and age. Than why do we have to have a sort of Soviet, old-fashioned attitude that we must have a state run something and nobody else
can
must,
run it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I get so cross with them because the average grant to charities in this country is 69%, running up to 100%. We get precisely 19%.
Right.
And that's why I've had to raise 30 million from, you know, yourself and my friends and whatever, and phones, and the government have only given us 4. It's just not right. These are real people.
It's not going to get any better though, Jonathan. That's the problem.
No, I just have to keep working and dreaming up ideas, and I'm getting awful old.
You're looking pretty good to me. Give us that text number again.
It's 57034.
So it's text the word pint to 57034 and it'll cost €5.
It'll cost you €5, but we get 95% of it.
Fantastic.
And you get a lovely little message thanking you for helping all my children.
Well, look, it's a pure pleasure to meet you today. And, I mean, the work you do is absolutely incredible. And, of course, all the carers and all the people who work with the Jack and Jill Foundation. And the other appeal that we're saying, if there is mobile phones lying around your house and they're not going to be used, the one thing people might worry about is the information on the phones.
They're all cleaned.
They're all cleaned.
We take phones from the prison service, from all government offices, and they're all, you know,
wiped completely.
Wiped. And we took all the phones from the sensor, the last sensor. They're wiped.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, remember to take your SIM card out.
Of course.
But no, that's one
there's
of the
no
first
on
things we have to do under the licensing.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the phones, there'd be no traceability back on those phones, and nobody can, from wherever they go in the world, people can't be ringing you or texting you saying, who's this? Who's this number? It's Michael in Bangladesh here.
Yeah,
you know?
Just tell him to text pint.
Jonathan, a pleasure to meet you finally, and well done on all the work. 30 million raised so far. That's absolutely incredible. And hopefully we can all get together and raise an awful lot more and help these little Jack and Jill babies. Happy Christmas.
And to you, and thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. That is Jonathan Irwin from the Jack and Jill Foundation. Text the word pint to 57034. It'll cost you €5. If you and all your mates do it when you're out, maybe going to your Christmas party or you're going to the pub for a drink or something like that, you know you'll be doing an awful lot of work to help with these Jack and Jill babies and to help their families as well. You can get the prepaid envelopes to post back the mobile phones. They're everywhere. All you have to do is take your SIM card out of the old phone, stick the old phones into the envelopes and post them off. They're all prepaid, so it's not costing you anything. Okay, Dublin's talking.
Capture the essence of Italy with Citalia by Travel Mood. Travel Mood is Ireland's leading tour operator, and they want you to travel in style and